Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, today I'd like to talk about something which a number of you have been asking me about, which is the narcissistic female and how you know that you're dealing with a narcissistic female. So I want to illustrate this with an example of a girl I knew at university, and I knew the people with whom she had relationships, and I knew the people with whom she was friends. And so she was really the textbook example of a narcissistic female. So I want to talk about her. Now, first of all, what is narcissism? Narcissism is that is often a means of dealing with negative feelings, with low self-esteem, with an unstable sense of self, with neurotic, with anxiety, with all this kind of bad things happening to you, whatever, by creating a perfect self, by telling yourself that you are wonderful, that you are brilliant, that you are amazing, that you are special, that you are unique, that you should only be with very special people, and that you're basically superb, and that is a coping mechanism for sort of suppressing deep feelings of insecurity. And so when a person punctures that fakeness, then the person can become very angry. Now, with males who are narcissists, they will often become infuriated if you imply they are of low social status or whatever, something like that. With females, they will become very angry if it's any kind of comment on their appearance or anything of that nature. Now, the woman in question was studying at Durham University, and in the first week of term, she got a reputation as basically being a bit of a slapper. She had sex with about three men in Freshers' Week alone. Now, this kind of attitude is very common among narcissistic females. They have a need to be adored. They have a need to be told they're wonderful. They have a need to be told that they're wonderful in a sexual way, that they're physically wonderful. And, of course, the way that you can achieve this is by having sex with lots of people, and the fact that these people want to have sex with you, from your perspective, is telling you that you're wonderful. So that was the first sign about her. The second thing was with regard to the males she had relationships with. There was a very predictable process. She would be, this was a person from a sort of a lower middle class background from the north of England, and she was very interested in what she saw as high status males, males who were from public schools, which in England, by the way, means private schools, high status private schools, things like this. And what she would do is she would engage in what's known as idealization. So you see these people, you are a narcissist, you think you're special, you think you're wonderful, you want to be around other special people, because that the fact that other special people are interested in you reassures you that you are special. And so you find these people whom you regard as special, and then you idealize them. You regard them as special. You see them as perfect. You see them as wonderful and thus worthy of your attention. And the very fact that they're so perfect and want to be with you reassures you of your own perfection. What you then do is you engage in love bombing. And this is exactly what this girl did to a number of boyfriends whom she had at university. She would, for example, the one guy I knew who was from, let's not say where he exactly was from. Okay, let's say he was from Hong Kong. She would telephone him every day throughout the holidays. She was always in his room. She was love bombing him so that he felt that he was amazing. He felt that he was wonderful. He felt deeply, deeply, deeply emotionally attached to her. This was this intense whirlwind of a relationship. And eventually, I think that they meet up in the holidays or something like that, I forget what, but something must have happened that made her see the real him, made her see that, you know, he wasn't that wonderful after all. He was a real person with real feelings. He wasn't perfect. You know, he had flaws. He disagreed with her on things. He wasn't the same as her. And so this disappointed her. And so then, of course, he was no longer of use to her. He no longer helped with what would be called her narcissistic supply. So she simply rejected him, by which he was heartbroken, and then moved on to another chap who was at a different college. And then the same thing happened again, over about the same period of time. And that was how all her relationships worked. She would highlight these people whom she very much looked up to. She'd be obsessed with them. She'd go on and on about them. She would love bomb them. She would have an intense and quick relationship with them. She would quickly change her mind, and then she would basically break their hearts, leaving chaos in their wake. Now, what was also interesting was her friendships. She basically had two real friends. That was her clique. Now, I've looked before on this channel about how this is what women do. They will tend to have a small number of friends that, in evolutionary terms, are their alloparents or potential alloparents, with whom they will very, very intensely bond, and with whom they will strong, you know, share information and all this kind of thing. And then any other females are seen as competitors for high status males and enemies. And this was done in extremis, and she focused on these two extremely insecure females who were both very insecure about their appearance. But one of them had every right to be; she was just ugly. And the other one had an enormous bottom, but she wasn't that ugly. But they were very they never had boyfriends, really, and they were extremely insecure about their appearance. And she was kind of like their charismatic leader. They kind of worshipped her, and they would sit there in college in their little clique. And when other girls that were not part of their clique came in, you'd get the knowing look and the laughing at them and the mocking them and the just being nasty to them and the spreading rumours about them and just horrible behaviour. There was one girl that they would exclude people. There was one girl that they just they were meant to go to Newcastle for some do, and they just went without her. And this girl was left crying and whatever, because they had just excluded her, just gone without her. Utterly selfish, thoughtless people. And she was almost like their cult leader, because that's the thing with narcissists. They have this charismatic quality. They have this, even though this girl that I'm talking about wasn't very intelligent at all. In fact, she failed her first year and was thrown out of the university. But she had this charismatic quality to her. She was good at making people laugh. She had this faux childlike innocence. She had all kinds of sort of attractive qualities in that way. And and these girls were just sort of drawn into her, almost like they worshipped her. And interestingly, when she was and they had no other friends, they excluded everybody else. And then when she was kicked out at the end of the first year, these two girls were left living together without her. And in the absence of her, they weren't able to get on at all. They weren't able to get on. And they ended up falling out completely and asking to move to different corridors so they could be away from each other. So their friendship with each other was entirely based around their being under the spell of her and around her idealising them, an idealisation which never really stopped. And she was just eventually just thrown out of the university. So again, leaving chaos in their wake. And the third thing was she was incredibly sensitive to criticism. I remember on one occasion, one of the reasons she was thrown out was she was doing a degree in education, and they brought in this rule that they realised that GCSEs are corrupt, and that yes, in theory, you have to have GCSE English, maths and science grade C in order to train to be a school teacher, but in practice, that because of grade inflation, a grade C is the new grade D, or at least it was then, and it really just wasn't good enough. And so they gave them basically a maths test, and she just kept failing it. And one time I said to her, "What's half times a half?" And of course, she didn't know what it was. She thought it was one or something. And I couldn't believe that anybody could think that. And she hit me, punched me in the arm, and ran off crying, sort of screaming. I mean, quite incredible. But that's what, you know, I confronted her with what she was, which was highly imperfect. Really most appalling woman, but with certain qualities which rendered her attractive. And so that is when you're dealing with a female narcissist. That's what they're like. Incredibly sensitive to criticism, and reacting really quite aggressively to the slightest slight, and in particular about anything to do with their appearance, with women, but it could be anything. But also the process of love bombing, and I have a lot of young male followers on this channel who are starting university or whatever, and they ask for advice, with Andrew Tate-esque like advice. It's that process of love bombing, which is when you know that what you're dealing with is the beginning of a narcissist, and it's quite fascinating. And narcissism is much more common among men than women, of course, because women are higher in agreeableness and they're higher in empathy, so it's rarer. But women are also higher in mental instability and higher in borderline personality disorder, when you kind of don't know who you are and not sure who you are. You see the world as this sense of chaos, and you don't have a firm sense of who you are in it, and so you're constantly experimenting with different identities. Am I this? Am I that? Constantly doubting yourself. And one way you can deal with that is via narcissism, via the creation of a false self, but it will be unstable. Now, this woman as well, by the way, her mother, she would talk about this openly. Her mother, I think, had spent time in a mental institution or something like this. So these things tend to be hereditary. So that there was that strong element as well. That should be a red flag to anybody. But there you go. I just thought I would give an illustrative example of a narcissistic female.
Hello. The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!